Matthew 28. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Can I read that again? He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord, that we have set aside in our year, in our time, to glorify you and to just lift up the resurrection of your body. And Lord, that statement boggles my mind. I don't know how you done it, Lord, but I believe that you did. And Lord, I pray that as I preach today, that your people would gain greater understanding. I pray, Lord, that if there be someone that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, that by the preaching of your resurrection, they would come to the saving knowledge of you, Lord, and they would put their faith and their trust in you and in the fact that you rose from the dead. Have your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to preach today on what the resurrection of Jesus means. What that means. Now, the word resurrection is quite literally the act of rising from the dead. Jesus was alive. He physically, literally died on the cross of Calvary on the hill called Golgotha. And now, as Revelation 1:18 records him stating of himself, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. See, the resurrection or the rising from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christian faith. Amen. It is not a foundation, it is the foundation. We live because he is alive. Amen. Had he stayed deceased, then you and I would not be gathered here this morning. There would be no Resurrection Sunday. There would be no Easter Sunday. There wouldn't be a Christianity had Jesus not arose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. That would mean that it would be fake. It would be fictitious. It would be meaningless to have faith in something that has no power. Yet we see people all over the world that put their faith in something that has no power. There are many today that worship idols. There are many today that worship dead gods. There are many today that worship man-made carvings and things of that nature. And those things have no power. They have no ability. I remember talking to a missionary, an Indian missionary to the country of India one time, and he told me that his uncle was a priest in the Hindu religion, and he says he remembers his uncle getting down in the temple on his knees, and he would crawl around on his knees until his knees bled because he believed that that pleased one of the 300 million plus Hindu gods that they have. He believed that that pleased the gods that they believed that they served. And so he would abuse himself. Now, before we think that that's too far away from us and it's crazy, remember that there are people likely in our congregation that have gods in their life that they believe if they harm themselves or they believe they do something to themselves that God is pleased with that, or their God is pleased with that. But friend of mine, that's not the God we serve. We serve the God of life. We serve the God of love. We serve the God of light. We serve the God who is alive forevermore because of the resurrection there that day after the cross of Calvary. 3 days he laid in that tomb, and then miraculously, incredibly, life through the power of God came back into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not that his heartbeat slowed to such a slow beat that no one could detect it. It was not that his respirations lingered so low that no one could detect them, and therefore he was not actually dead. No, friend, the Bible says he was dead. And when you are dead, you are dead. There is no life in you. There's no ability in you. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that the soldiers came by and pierced his side, and forthwith blood and water flowed from the side. They didn't break his legs because the prophecy had declared that his legs, not a bone in his body, would be broken. Amen? But they pierced his side, and the blood and water ran out, and Jesus was dead on that cross. A man named Joseph of Arimathea came and got that body and took him to a brand new tomb, amen, a brand new vault, and laid him in there where no one had ever been. He was in that vault, in that tomb, and the power of God came in that place, revived the literal body of Jesus, and of his own power and volition, he got up out of that grave and is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord. This is what we as Christians believe. With this in mind, it is requisite that we should have infallible proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have four such proofs just in the book of Matthew chapter 28 alone. We have the testimony of the angels the angel in verses 1 through 8. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Then we have Christ's appearance to the women in verses 9 and 10. We have the confession of the guards in verses 11 through 15. And we have Christ appearing to his disciples in verses 16 through 20. There are many more proofs that are available in the Bible as Luke and John give a more detailed account of his resurrection. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." You will make up your mind this morning as to whether or not you will have faith in the Bible and in the God of the Bible, or whether you will rely on your own intuition and your own feelings about what you read. Friend of mine, I'll just stick with the stuff. I'll just go with this blessed old book that has stood the test of time. I'll just go with the precious, unadulterated, infallible Word of God that has stood up to scrutiny just in the English language for more than 400 years. I'll just stay with this blessed old book that has told the truth and changed lives over and over and over again. The resurrection of Christ is very, very real. God has given us proof in His Word. Colossians 2:12 said that you and I are buried with Him in baptism.
wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians 3:1 said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So those who say, well, Jesus rose from the dead, he is alive forevermore. Where is he then, preacher? He had ascended. If you'll read the book of Acts in chapter number one, you will find that Jesus ascended up into glory. The Bible says that the angels, the two men in white apparel, came and stood by the men of Galilee and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? Now think about that. Here's what's going on here. By the way, we're just in the introduction this morning. I hope y'all got plenty of time. Two Sundays in a row. Preacher done got long-winded. Here's what happened there that day. Jesus has appeared to above 500 of the brethren. He's appeared all over the known world there after his resurrection. And these men of Galilee are standing there and they watch his body begin to rise up off of the earth. And so they see this miraculous event taking place right in front of their eyes. And they watch and they watch and they watch and they watch and they just keep on gazing up into the sky because Jesus has went up there. And so that angel comes down and says, hey, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? For this same Jesus that you've seen taken up is coming again in a like manner. Amen. None of this would be possible had it not been for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you and I have the proof of him. So what does it, of his resurrection, so what does the resurrection mean, preacher? That's where you started, all right? The first thing that I want to tell you that it means, that it is the greatest display of God's power. Amen. It is the greatest display of God's power. No other has risen from the dead. No other has risen from the dead. Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The greatness of the power of God is that he raised Jesus from the dead. All other miraculous things are subsequent to this. Without this miracle, no other miracles after the resurrection of Jesus would have happened. And by the way, it was Jesus that produced the miracles prior to the resurrection, not anything else or not anyone else. Matter of fact, there's one man in the book of Acts who wanted to buy the ability to produce miracles. And they told him that he had the gall of bitterness and he was in the bond of iniquity, is what the men of God told that. Kind of makes me wonder about some of these folks around now that believe they got the power to heal and all that stuff. It's amazing that they want to do this stuff on camera down at the church house, but you don't care nothing about going down to children's hospital, do you? Y'all okay? Ain't nobody showing up at Cancer Centers of America wanting to heal the sick down there. What's going on, guys? What you going to do with the Apostle Paul when he had a thorn in his flesh? I don't know why we're going off here. Maybe we just need to hear this preaching. Amen. What you going to do with the Apostle Paul that had the thorn in his flesh, the infirmity in his flesh, not in his soul, not in his spirit, but in his flesh? It was a problem in his flesh, something he needed healing from. And God told that man, my grace is sufficient for thee. Go on and live with it. See, the miraculous power of God is that he raised Jesus from the dead. Not that he has to prove to you that he can heal your body. Amen. God is sovereign.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Healing may very well come, but it's going to come after you believe in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. 2 Corinthians 13:4 said, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For ye also are weak in him, but ye shall live with him by the power of God toward you. See, God has taken the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and made that power through the Lord Jesus Christ available to you and I. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, not because we have good intentions about reading the Bible, not because we think we can interpret Scripture to fit our needs, but rather because Jesus is alive, you and I can have hope and have life and have it more abundantly through Christ. Romans 14:9 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. He's got it all in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And he's got things beyond this world's knowledge in his hands. He is God. Another thing that this means in the greatest display of God's power, not only is he no other has risen from the dead, but here's what it means to those who will believe this. Romans chapter number 6, verses 8 through 11 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. He will never have to face death again. Because he controls death. I said this Wednesday night, I want to say it again. Death is powerful, but it is not as powerful as the Lord God Almighty. Amen? We view death as the ultimate ending. For the child of God, it's just the beginning. Amen? We see death as a horrible place. But God lets us know that he is in control, and not even death has power over God. Even on the cross, as he stretched out his arms, it was him who said, heart, stop beating. Death didn't win nothing there that day. And the devil, I believe he knew what was going to happen, so he wasn't too sure. Y'all right? He had the power, the ability to control his own death. Heart stopped beating. Lungs stopped breathing. Eyes closed. Blood stopped flowing. The power of God was on full display when he was crucified, but it was on greater display when he was rose from the dead. Amen. Thank God that for those of us who will believe, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, Romans 6, 8 through 11, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We, those who believe in him, those who believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will live with him. He will never die again, and death has no power over him. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 52 was prophesied some 730 years prior to Jesus walking the face of the earth. And he said those words, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm. He's flexed his muscle. That's what God did. He rolled back that right arm of strength. And he flexed that powerful arm. And he showed all the nations of the earth, here's what I can do. And that's why today on Easter, the whole world stops.
That's right.
You know that? There's two holidays that stop the world. You know what they are? Christmas and Easter.
Amen.
You know why? Because they center around Christ. Hey, man. You all right? There are other holidays. I remember years ago I was working, and I grew up, you know, here in the good old United States of America, and man, that means that July the 4th, everybody and their brother takes a day off. That's what I thought. I remember I was working for an international company, and we got some product in, and I looked at the ship date, and that ship date said July 4th, and I thought, what in the world was these people doing working on July the 4th? I didn't have enough sense to know that they didn't celebrate it like I did. But there are other, these holidays, they stop the world because they center around Christ. They don't center around just one part of the world. They center around Him. Today, we remember His resurrection. This is the reason why Christianity exists, is what we celebrate today. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You cannot preach the cross without preaching the resurrection.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." In Christ lies all the power and all of the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:14, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power." What'd you say, preacher? Did y'all hear that? I need to read that one again. 1 Corinthians 6:14, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power." 1 Corinthians 2:5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." For the child of God, this thing of death is life eternal beginning. If you're here today and you are not saved, you are not born again, you are spiritually dead. And Jesus died physically, arose victoriously, and by this you may be made alive spiritually.
Amen.
Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's just what the Bible says. Wait a minute, preacher. You mean if I will believe in the resurrection, I can be saved? Absolutely. Just that easy. Just that quick. I like the transactional power of God.
Amen.
The same God that we think is going to zap us instantly for doing something wrong. I about struck a trot right then. I about started running. I'm pretty sure I just hit 11 minutes per mile running across that state. Some of y'all know, some of you don't. I lost my place. Let me go back up here. Better quit thinking about running. Get back to thinking about the Word of God. Amen. Let me go on. How about that? How about I quit trying to say my point about... I don't know what I was going to say. How about I shut up and preach? Here's another thing it means. I look over here at my family, they're like, "What are you doing?" My brother's sitting over here going, my wife's like, my sister's going, "Thank you for praying, yeah." It means the greatest prophecy ever fulfilled. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means the greatest prophecy ever fulfilled. There have been many prophecies fulfilled, but none are as incredible as Jesus rising from the dead. Isaiah 53 is perhaps the most prevalent Old Testament prophecy of the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus. It has been fulfilled. There are at least 16 Psalms that are known as the Messianic Psalms, and several of them refer directly to the suffering and death of Christ And others refer to him as his majestic messianic reign. John 10, verses 17 through 18, 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus prophesied of his own death and his own resurrection. John 2, verses 19 through 22, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Jesus did, in fact, die on the cross. That is an irrefutable fact. Theologians and historians agree that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross. It is recorded by non-Christian writers. It's recorded by Christian writers, Polycarp and Clement of Rome. It is recorded by those men, and even Josephus recorded, who was not a Christian and did not agree with Christian values. They recorded the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was put in a tomb. This is also irrefutable, and it is because Joseph of Arimathea was a Pharisee. He was not someone that would have been a sympathizer with Jesus, and yet he still gave a very costly, valuable item for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't think that's something, go price a tomb at your local mausoleum. That's a pretty big deal. He was put in the tomb, but glory to God, he fulfilled the prophecy of rising again. He is no longer in that tomb. I am told that over the tomb where Jesus was placed, there is an inscription that says, "He is not here, for he is risen." Psalm 16, 9 and 10 says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Because he fulfilled that prophecy, another one can be fulfilled. Can I read you this? In Daniel chapter number 12, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Daniel is prophesying the resurrection of the saints. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 22 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Thank God, we shall live also. A little while ago, Miss Linda was doing that psalm, "I know my Redeemer liveth." I'm not for certain of the inspiration of those lyrics to that song, but I do want to read to you something out of the Bible. Job, the Old Testament man of God, in chapter 19, verses 25 through 27 said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." I'm glad that old Job prophesied that his Redeemer was alive. He knew it before it happened, because God gave it to him. But I want to give you something that God gave to a man named Paul as he wrote to an old wicked church called Corinth. This is what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection of Christ, it means the greatest prophecy ever fulfilled and the greatest display of God's power. Now, if he can do all of that, he can save you too. Preacher, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've said. No, but I know a loving and a forgiving God. Amen. Who has more grace than your sin can exceed. And if you will believe this resurrection and put your faith and your trust in it and it alone, the Lord will save you. What will you do with the resurrection? I preached to you what the resurrection of Christ means to the church. Man, wouldn't it be something if it meant a little bit more than just Easter bunnies and Easter baskets to you today? Wouldn't it be something if it was just a little bit more than hunting eggs once a year? Wouldn't it be something if it was a life-shaking, earth-shattering day in your life where you realize that he paid the price for your redemption and he resurrected from the grave so that you can resurrect too? Walk in the newness of life. What will you do with this Jesus? Father, in your precious name, I come to you as humbly as I know how, asking you, Lord, to move. Lord, you don't give crowds of this size, Lord, and there not be somebody who needed to hear the gospel message. Lord, we're so thankful that you came to the earth as a babe. You were born in a manger in Bethlehem. You lived a perfect, sinless life. You were crucified on the cross of Calvary. And you arose 3 days later, victorious. Father, you told us that if we put our faith and our trust in that, the gospel message, that you will save us. Lord, I pray there will be someone that will put their faith in that this morning and they would be born again. Lord, have your will and your way. Exercise your might, Lord. Let your power be made known. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with us this morning?